Gene Bolduc is with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, which in the case of this week are many and legion, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? Where do you want to begin? Now, we've lost Gene. This isn't good. Are you there? Okay,
yeah,
there you are. All right.
I guess my headphones crapped out on me. Sorry about that.
It's always a bad time to drop. It's like, where do you want to start? And then it's just dead silence. It's like, well, she's given up. That's it.
I know, right? What happened here?
Everyone go home or stay home for the rest of 2020. That's it for now. All right, well, let's start with
where do we want to start?
Let's start with the Axios interview.
You know, one thing is, this reminds me constantly of the Trump fire hose of too much, you know, that is part of what prevents you from focusing on any one thing. But I guess my focus, I hope I can maintain it for the next 90 days, is voting.
Right.
And I talked to Penny Rich about this the day before yesterday for our interview for my show on Saturday. We talked about misinformation about absentee ballots and mail-in ballots and how they're, you know, the same thing, and about how solid the voting systems and counting and elections are in Orange County. You know, we don't have control over the United States of America, but we know a lot about what's what in Orange County, North Carolina. And, you know, Penny pointed out, you know, listen, I've just been through a very close, to say the least, recount, and she said, listen, I mean, it's solid. I mean, this system of counting votes and holding an election in this county is rock solid. So I've tweeted out, I know Penny has, I mean, many others have, but if you follow either of us on Twitter, you can easily find the form to fill out to apply for your absentee ballot. And the important thing is, go ahead and do that. And if you end up deciding that you're going to vote in person, that's fine. But get the thing in your hand right now. And that way, if things change on the ground here and it becomes much more of a hot spot, which is entirely possible, in 2 months when early voting starts, then you can just drop it in the mail. Or you can bring it up to the Board of Elections and drop it off there. There are many stories, but for me, voting.
One of the, you mentioned misinformation campaigns, and can you hear me at all?
Oh, I hear you now. Okay.
Okay, good.
Sorry, go ahead.
We were misconnecting there for a second. One of the things you mentioned there was misinformation campaigns, and I haven't really had a chance to dig into it very much yet. But earlier this week, Duke University had a really, really good online forum with a few really really well respected Duke scholars. A couple of them I've actually talked to on the air in the past. About misinformation and disinformation, and how this is generating distrust of legitimate media, and how it's contributing to polarization and things like that. And it's a significant concern. But one thing that I take to heart, one of the scholars on the panel is Sunshine Hillegas, who's a political scientist at Duke, kept coming back to this point. One thing that I take one fact that I kind of hang on to that I take to heart is the fact that misinformation has always been an issue. There are different facets of it now. We're in the internet age where there's thousands of media outlets out there, and social media is making everything super fast, and it's very difficult to keep track of what's real information and what's misinformation, and all of that is kind of new to the last 10 years or 20 years. But the problem of misinformation and the ubiquity of it and the extent to which Americans are informed or misinformed about the facts. Like, most of that hasn't actually changed all that much. Like, we today are far more misinformed about things than we should be or that we want to be. But the difference between our level of misinformation and Americans 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 200 years ago actually hasn't changed all that much. So democracy has survived for 200 years with that level of misinformation. It's not necessarily a deal breaker. We just have to recognize the issue and figure out how to overcome it.
I think that that's fair to say. However, I think that the one of the primary sources of disinformation deliberately coming from the President of the United States is unique. I'm sure I don't remember anything approaching this level of, you know, everyday occurrence of the President putting out information, representing it as fact, and it's just blatantly false. The good thing that's happening now is the fact checking in real time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that those who cover him in national media have kind of cracked the code on, no, wait a minute, we really don't have to just put that on the air and, you know, give it the give people the impression that this is some legitimate difference of opinion. No, what the president just said, pick a topic, you know, is false.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not he knows it's false and is doing this on purpose really doesn't even matter anymore. If it's just provably false, we're just going to say it's false.
Well, that's where I wanted
to. And
then
they just move on.
That's where I wanted to start with the we were misconnecting there, and I don't think you could hear me, but I wanted to get your take on the Axios interview from earlier this week, which was like 3 days ago, by the way.
I know.
Feels like forever, but it's only been a few days.
Yeah, I thought it was really outstanding, and I think Jonathan Swan has just set the standard. He and Chris Wallace, interestingly enough, I think have just set the standard. Number one, you know, look, you're going to have about 4 questions. If you sit down with the president for 30 or 40 minutes, you're going to have about 4 questions, maybe 5, that you can really get into with him. And you're going to have to go at him again and again and again and interrupt him. You know, people, in journalism school, we learn that you probably shouldn't do that, especially with a high-ranking official, constantly interrupting almost to the point of badgering on specific points of fact, you know, saying, no, sir, no, that's not right. No, you know, no, they're not mailing out ballots. They're mailing out applications. And just, you know, putting it there at the same moment the president is saying it is really important. And I think I don't understand why Trump is sitting down for these interviews at all at this point.
Who's on the water cooler
sure
this weekend?
Penny Rich. He did a great job. Yes, Penny Rich, and she talked a lot about. We talked about what the Orange County Health Department has done with the university, and you know, taking the lead and just really being accountable. They're doing a tough job up there, and they really need the community's support, not only in not wildly criticizing, but, complying. And that means students, too, and everybody in and around campus. These are simple things to do, so we should do them.
Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m., Sunday at 1, Sunday at 8. Plenty of chances to listen in this weekend, and you can get the full archive of shows, including that one, online at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Bolduc, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.